Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. I think it's January 26th today.
We just rolled in.
It's January 26th. It didn't seem like it was raining. It might have been damp, but I didn't have my windshield washer.
40 degrees. Wipers. Cloudy.
Yeah, it's not 705. Nice. It's supposed to be clearing up today.
Maybe a little sunshine.
We are really doing well for rain this month. We're much above what we were last year. Hey, we're joined today, of course, by the musher better known as Bad Bob.
Good morning, Carl and Linda.
Oh, you're awful cheerful this morning.
Well, I'm trying to for the cheerful attitude.
Yes, of course, this is the best way to be.
It means you can't flail your arms and yell at me.
Flail.
Either.
All right. Don't flail those arms.
And then I'm, of course, joined by the best reason to be here today. Linda.
Well, good morning, and I want to thank Eric Lancaster, who stood in for Jim Bremer, who snowed in. Jim, if you can hear us, be careful on the way back. But Eric, thank you so much. You did a great job. We're going to have you come on in about 25 minutes with a very special guest.
3:30 is really early in the morning, but I kicked my wife out of the room, got all my news printed out, and got here at 5 o'clock, and
you were ready.
To turn on the radio on the way here and go, Eric is just, what a pro.
I haven't done it in a long time. It was nice. It felt like an old pair of shoes slipping back on. It was fun. Thanks, guys.
Well, thank you. We're honored to have you on our team.
I understand you said that the Mount Shasta Ski Park was open. I heard it closed down again.
It opened and closed
right
in one day due to power. So,
well, here it is, some of the best powder, best snow to ski on, and they can't get the people up the hill.
If I had the knees and ankles to do it, I would do it. I'd go back up and ski again, but my knees and ankles are shot. I loved snow skiing. So.
And I like old-fashioned snow skiing.
Two skis. No, none of this board stuff. I want two pieces of wood on my feet, and I want to just tuck and go.
I want a long, intermediate run. Don't give me any of those moguls.
I'm not a mogul guy.
Nope.
Buddy of mine and I used to just, we get on the top and just tuck and run and go down and try to bump everybody.
Yeah.
And just bump each other, not so much.
Yeah.
So,
it's really cool to do that. I used to like to go to Alpine and, some of my favorite haunts in Tahoe. But it's been about 15 years for me, too. So I want to give a shout-out to a new business in town. Went to lunch there yesterday called Aunt Shelley's Deli, which is kind of kitty-corner from the post office. Phenomenal food. And I promised you I would say hello, and I wanted to tell our listeners just how good your food is. It's home cooked, all the meat, when they talk about deli meat, this is not pressed deli meat. Everything is made from scratch. And there's a soft opening now. They're going to be having their grand opening in a few weeks. They are going to be extending their hours, and they're going to have Philadelphia hoagies, the true things. Now, I ran into Dr. Peter Robbins there, who did the sound on my concert martinis with Santa, and he's a phenomenal musician and a great guy. And I thought it was funny because he said, they're going to have Philadelphia hoagies. And he said they have the best Italian coffee because they serve espresso there, out of the little demitasse cups. So they've got the details down.
The one that makes you talk faster?
Well, or makes you want to, stir it with a little demitasse spoon and put the little cube in. It's kind of a ritualistic thing, Anyway, should we go to the phones this morning? Let's start off with Gary. Good morning.
Good morning, Carl and Linda. I want to give you a news heads up. Yesterday, and I would imagine it'll continue today, there was a run on the local pharmacies and drug departments of all the major stores. People are buying up Alka-Seltzer and Milox and Pepto-Bismol and all the headache reliefs in anticipation of tomorrow night's State of the Union address.
Well, now, come on, Gary. When's the last time you heard a State of the Union that you can remember anything that was said?
Well,
day?
I usually listen to the radio because I don't want to waste electricity on the TV, but this time I will turn it on because I want to see the expressions on the audience in the house, and I want to see who's sitting on the hands and who's not, and just that. I think it'll be entertaining and in that part.
Okay, we ought to start a some kind of pool here. How many times Nancy Pelosi bounces up during the State of Union? Now, if last time she bounced up 65 times, at this time she only bounces up like 45 times, maybe she's not as happy as she was last time.
Hey, that's great. That's a great idea. You know, and I have one for Linda.
Yes.
Because I know you like to shop and also produce shows and such. What if you had $1 trillion? You're given $1 trillion, just like the government. Give you $1 trillion, and you could spend $1 a second. How long do you think it would take you to spend that $1 trillion?
Oh, I'm not good with numbers.
Don't worry about it. I'll give it to you.
Okay, tell me, Gary.
It would take you 31,709 years to spend that $1 trillion.
If I spend $1 a second.
$60 an hour.
$1 a second, yeah. You'd take you 31,709 years to spend $1 trillion. And I was heard on the news our deficit is now reaching $1.33 trillion. So, you know, puts it.
One of the things, Gary, was to try to listen to is that I know that the president's going to talk about, you know, freezing spending. The questions that needs to be asked then is, what about all this money that's being paid back by the banks, the ones that are paying it back, and a lot of them aren't, but the ones that are paying it back with interest? What about the rest of the money that has not been spent, you know, from the TARP? Is that money going to cut the deficit, or is that money going to be used, or is that money going to be spent?
No, I think that's still being thought out, and they'll spend it somehow.
Yeah, but
the freeze will start sometime later, or people will forget about it, and it'll be never.
Yeah.
It's like you have to take a pause because
It's
staggering. It's this big old. It's like somebody took a big bucket, like a bucket the size of your body, and just splashed you full of water, and it's that shocking factor of, wow, we got to take a break though.
Okay, well, I have an email coming to you in a few days, and it's kind of like a legal brief regarding the Commerce Clause, and no, you can't take over the automobile factories. So that'll be coming to you in a few days.
Okay,
take care.
Thanks.
Great, Gary.
Right.
Thanks. Have a good day. This is Carl and Linda Bott here. This is Free Fire Radio. Good morning. It's KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Wait a minute.
Here we go. Oh, my God.
Oh, I thought I was going to have to hum along.
No,
there,
we bought
Bad
this
Bob.
DVD for $5 or $10 standing in line once. Like, how could you not have the Blue Brothers in your collection?
Blue Brothers, that's right. Oh, good job. Okay, Bob says it's the DVD's fault because it didn't push its own button. Okay. Bob, don't try to defend yourself here. Don't fight. Just take the slings and arrows. That's what you're getting the big bucks for. California voters, if you had to ask all your friends, and you just did a quick survey in here. Okay, in fact, let's do a survey inside our vast studios here of the hundreds of employees. Okay, everybody here who thinks that Arnold Schwarzenegger is doing a good job, raise your hand. Well, I just want you to know that the 0% in this studio is just a little bit below what everybody else thinks. 27% of 1,200 registered voters surveyed in a telephone poll this month, only 27% approved of the job Schwarzenegger is doing. Now, how many do you think really, what was the percentage for the Sacramento lawmakers? Oh, yeah, make Schwarzenegger look like a shoe-in for the next election. 16%. So 27% of the people surveyed thought that Schwarzenegger was doing a good job. Only 16% thought the lawmakers were doing a good job. And you know what? I think Schwarzenegger might have even commented on this. And he said, you know, they're right. We've got this state in a mess. This state is in a mess. The fact that here we are in Reading, and our guest today, by the way, is Patrick Jones. Here we are with a business that wants to open up here, and we've got people attacking it because of, you know, it's playing by the rules that, you know, the city's making out there at Stillwater. It wants to hire 100 or 200 people and put a couple million dollars into our economy. What's going on with that? But we're going to talk about that with Patrick Jones, too. Should we be giving away public land that we've paid for? even if it means bringing in a lot of jobs and a lot of tax money. Now, going on to the national scene here, we've got three U.S. senators requested Monday that the accused airline bomber Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab be transferred back into military custody. Yeah, Lieberman, Collins, both said that we need to get the administration out of this and give them back to the military. And here's the reason why. 50 minutes after this man was turned over, you know, captured and turned over to the authorities, they read him his Miranda rights. At that point, Mr. Abdulmutallab stopped talking. So now he is given the same rights as Bad Bob is, or Linda, or I, even though he tried to blow up an airliner after being trained by Al-Qaeda with explosives stuffed up in his boxer shorts. And the letter said that, though the president has said repeatedly we are at war, it does not appear to us that the president's words reflected in the actions of some of the executive branch, including some of the Department of Justice responsible for fighting this war. You know, there's something wrong, my friends, that we actually take a terrorist and give them the same rights as we would somebody that has just stole candy from the local dollar store. This is a serious thing. This is war we're at. And so what do? We act like they are American citizens. They're not. They're combatants. Hand them over to the military. To hell with their Miranda rights. They don't deserve them. And then let them be questioned. Now, I'm not saying waterboard them. No, don't lay them down and wrap them in a blanket and beat them with, you know, wet towels or any of those other things you had to do when you were in a fraternity. But you question them. You find out what's going on. The man went through training from Al-Qaeda. Where are the camps? Who are the people that trained him? What are the training techniques? What did they tell him? Where did the money come from? Who are his contacts? Do you think he's given any of this up now? No, because he's got a lawyer that, oh, by the way, we're paying for to protect him. Now, if anybody doesn't find anything wrong with this, please give me a call and explain to me why this should have happened. Why he should have been given his rights. Why he's being treated as an American citizen. I think we have to take a quick break here. When we come back, we have happier news. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. You can get to us at KCNR1460.com. Send us emails. That's also where you can enter contests, and we'll talk about that in a second.
Speaking of contests.
Yeah, what contest?
Okay, we're giving away in conjunction with Kubler's.
Yeah.
This is wonderful. You know, especially for your sweetheart, you can go to our website, which is KCNR1460.com, and enter in the field there. Just press the little heart where you see Carl and I sitting on the sweetheart love seat. It's a Macy Cafe love seat, and we are going to be making a drawing or taking the name on the 12th. And also, if you go into Kubler's, fill out the email. Now, we promise your email is not going to be sold, okay? But that's how we're going to do the drawing on the 12th, and then you can take a love seat home and surprise your sweetheart on the 14th. If you're looking at things to do on January 13th, there is the American Red Cross Crab Feed. It's the 6th annual All-You-Can-Eat Crab Feed. It's a benefit for the Shasta Area American Red Cross. And we are going to be emceeing that event. Should be fun. It's going to be at Wind River. Doors open at 5 with the no-host bar. Dinner served at 6:15. And, of course, there'll be raffles, auction, wine tasting, music, and all the crab, clam chowder, salad, and bread you can eat. $45 per person or $400 for a table for 10. So go by the Red Cross or call 244-8000 or Buzz's Crab Stand, 243-2120.
You know, you haven't seen anything till you see me being an auctioneer. I mean, you haven't seen anything. I throw myself into this. And if you're lucky, when you're there with us, and I'm sure you will be, you get to see me wear the coveted crab hat. And I may just auction off the coveted crab hat. Later on in the night, after everybody's been drinking a little beer, a little wine, you know, see how much that crab hat could possibly be worth.
Let's back up for a minute, because we do have a $35 gift card from Kubler. So if you call us at 605-4567, come on in and get it. First caller gets it, 605-4567. That's a $35 Kubler's furniture gift card. What else is on the agenda here?
Okay, I want to talk about, you know the recession has hit the music industry big time. I mean they have slowed down to the extent that it looks like Diddy Combs. Diddy Combs, he's the son of, Diddy Combs is the hip-hop star. He had to really cut back this year, and he could only give his 16-year-old son a $360,000 luxury sedan. That's right. It was only $360,000 in this huge party that had Lil' Kim entertaining and all these other people. In addition to the wheels, Daddy gave him a check for $10,000. Now, Justin Combs, seems like being a good kid, immediately donated it to a charity, Yele Haiti. So all the money will be going to Haiti.
What's his middle name? Justin?
I don't know, hon.
Dior.
Dior, that's right. Justin Dior Combs.
And is it, when you say Diddy, is how many names does this guy have? Is it Sean? Is it P. Diddy? Is it, what is it?
Was it Puff Daddy once?
Puff Daddy.
And Sean Diddy Combs. Anyway, now wait a minute. Here's one little catch to this whole thing. Justin doesn't have a driver's license, nor does he even know how to drive. So what did Daddy do? He gave him a uniform chauffeur to drive him around town. That's right. So along with his $360,000 luxury sedan, he also got a chauffeur to escort the teen and his friends around Manhattan. You know, I'm glad to see that people are cutting back in the face of this recession. And there's people writing things all over the place here. Now, a couple other things have come on. Is the Bo Biden, the son of the vice president, announced Monday that he will not seek election for the U.S. Senate seat held by his father, Vice President Joe Biden.
Isn't that grand?
Well, you know, this is something that's getting bigger, people. This is, now, Bo Biden's not running for a seat they thought he could take.
Oh, please.
But they also, what it looked like is that they were going to be running against a Republican by the name Mike Castle. And he's been well-known in the state and in the area for years. And Biden said, I need to do my job as Attorney General. You know, it looks like right now the Democratic Party is in somewhat of a disarray, somewhat as the Republicans were when people started hammering them and they started losing. But I find that interesting that Bo Biden, who was like a shoe-in, is like being anointed. It was like being handed the throne by his father, is not even running.
We have a caller on the line, but we're going to take her after our break. Hang on there, darling. We're going to be right there with you. And this is Carla Linda Bob. By the way, 605-4567 is the hotline here. This is Casey and our 1460. We're always taking your emails. Shoot us a thought, what you want to talk about. This is Carla Linda Bob. Free Fire Radio, Casey and our 1460. Good morning. Welcome back. 7:32 in the morning. 40 degrees. A little bit cloudy. And the weather is also always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Let's go to the phone. Good morning.
Hi.
I understand your husband's sleeping, so you're talking rather quietly.
Well, actually, I'm in the master suite. He's in the guest suite in the west wing of the house, but I can speak openly. Anyway, Linda and Carl, you guys were doing the bell ringing in front of Rayleigh's.
Yes.
And I'm the same Linda that came by to see you.
Yay!
Oh, hi.
So anyway, I wanted to talk about, I'm thankful that I got to be the first caller to get the gift certificate. Thank you for that. The thing is, the tea parties at the Holiday Inn last night, the Patriot meeting.
Yes.
They showed a replay of the the city council meeting that took place on the previous Tuesday, when they voted 3-2, Patrick Jones and Dick Dickerson are for the people. They listened to about a dozen speakers that said, don't do this, but they voted in favor of it anyway. What it is, the city of Reading is thinking of putting to make the treasurer and the city clerk's position appointed rather than elected. And they go, well, it's a trend in the cities. The League of Cities advises us that most cities in Reading. And the speaker said, well, you know, if they want to jump off the cliff, that doesn't mean Reading's going to. And you're taking more rights away from the people. It should be voted. And there, Rick DuVernay, the city attorney, he said, well, the voters may get someone in there who doesn't know how to do the job, incompetent. They as much as said that the voters were incompetent of selecting a qualified city clerk, and that's never been the case. They've always been folks that are able to do the job, and, you know, there's such a thing as on-the-job training, OJT, you know. But anyway, they're taking more and more rights away from the people, and the three that voted against it were Mary, I don't want to get into the personal, but you have to. The three voters, the three city council members who voted to take this right away, they want to put it on the June 8th ballot to say we can vote on whether we can vote or not. I mean, we don't want to spend the $25,000 it takes to put a ballot initiative on the ballot. I'd rather they fix the pothole in front of my street, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's...
Could I just say one more thing, though? I know it's a dialogue, but I'll forget if I don't say it. The three members, it was Mary Stiegel, and she was so elitist. She didn't even hear all those speakers. And they were wonderful speakers. But 1,500 people at the Holiday Inn saw that city council meeting. They had her on video. And the other two, of course, were... Missy MacArthur, I voted for her. And then the third one, who I plan on calling his office because he seems amenable. He was like, go with the flow kind of thing. It was Rick Bossetti. And I think we could get him to change his vote because we don't want to spend $25,000 to put it on the June 8th ballot. Okay, I've said everything.
We agree with you. And Patrick Jones is going to be our guest today.
Yes.
And so we can talk to Patrick about this. You know, my point is that if you're worried about the electors putting people in jobs that are incompetent, then why in the heck are we voting for city council?
Exactly, and that point was brought up.
Look what we've done to the governor and our legislature. 27% approve of the governor, 16% approve of the legislature. And tell me Obama's doing a great job. So if that's the case, if they're going to use that as an example that we may put an incompetent in the office, that right there is a non-starter because, then we're not going to ever have an election again because we may elect somebody that's not as good as we think. But on the other hand, it's what we think. It's not what some city manager thinks who says that their decisions have been the greatest in the past 5 years.
Right, and that's what they brought forth, too, was that if the city council wants to, they could, those five members can delegate that appointee to Kurt Starman, the city manager. And it's already the tail wagging the dog. Starman and DuVernay are running the council. They're the council people, and I know I can't call twice in the same time, but I hope that Patrick Jones brings up the fact that they need to stand up to this city manager and the city attorney. DuVernay and Starman. It's like the tail wagging the dog, you know?
Well, nothing says you can't call twice. If you can get in on the lines, you can call, Linda. You know what? We are a free and democratic society here on Free Fire Radio, unless I don't like the caller, and then I just come home.
Okay, if I can get in, I can get through, huh?
You can get through. Okay, look, we've got to jump here.
Bye-bye.
We've got a guest. Thanks,
Linda. Bye, Linda. Thank you.
Bye.
You win the card.
Bye-bye.
We have a special guest. Do we need to take a break before we kind of go to our special guest and our segue here? This is Carla Nabot on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM. Phone lines here are 605-4567. It's Carl and Linda Bott. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Espresso Joe's. You can get that special cup of coffee, that no foam, double shot, latte, no sugar, with a shot of vanilla in it if you want. And then
You can drink it and wander around. You can go back into the spot and go into that finest humidor in the North State and pick out a good cigar and sit out there in front and talk to those men from the Patriot Guard about great things that are happening in our community. Joe and Shelley, Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. So much more than just a tobacco shop.
Well, in our studio right now, we are honored to have such an accomplished black belt. His name is Jim Matthews. Many people call him Master Jim. He is an 8th degree black belt in Kung Fu Sensei. Is that correct? Or Sensei?
Sansu.
Sansu. Oh, okay, Sansu. Well, good morning, and thank you for being our guest.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
Master Jim.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, could you please give us a little bit of background about who you are and how you got into black belt, or got into Sansu?
Okay, I started way back in the 70s when there wasn't any Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Power Rangers, and I was introduced to it because I was kind of a scrawny kid that really couldn't take care of himself, and I had a neighbor that was training in this. I didn't know it because he didn't tell anybody, and he saved me from getting beat up one more time, and he showed me what this stuff was, and I said, I want it really bad. So I started in it, and I used to sneak my uniform in my bag and take off and go to Kung Fu class. Just so fortunate that one of the instructors opened a school within walking distance of my home. So I trained it. And everybody said, oh, you can't get a black belt. So I kept going because I'm kind of that kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up earning my black belt in the art of Kung Fu Sansu. Went on to bodyguard for a couple of years for Prince, Paul Abdul, Boyz II Men, and other celebrities, and then kind of came back from being on tour to test for my 2nd degree black belt, and everything I owned was stolen. So I decided to come up here with the people that were in school at the time and introduced me to the art, and bodyguarded up here for a couple of years for the for Trinity County Witness Protection Program. And at that point, we opened the school, and after doing a women's self-defense class for one of the local therapists, and a little boy was hitting me at the end of the class and fell to the ground crying. To make a long story short, when we got him put back together, he said, if I would have learned this earlier, Grandpa wouldn't have done what he did to me. And I started bawling, and about a month later, check came in the mail, and we opened the school.
Wow.
Yeah, so since then, we've been working with these kids that have ADD. I didn't know what that was. Dr. Dan Rabanowitz was a student at the time, and he's a psychologist in town, and he started feeding me information about ADD, ADHD, and we just kept getting more and more of these kids. And recently, in the last year or so, prior to that, we ended up, somehow I got inducted into the Martial Arts Hall of Fame. I didn't even know that the rest of the world knew that I was here in Redding, California, and I was inducted as Humanitarian of the Year for my work with the kids. So we've been working with ADD and ADHD kids and autistic kids, and that's really a niche that we're working on real hard right now.
Now, when were you inducted in?
2007.
2007, and this was a national level induction.
Yes.
Well, you know, that shows a lot. Was this ever covered anywhere? Did anybody know about this?
It is right now. Hello, it's a couple years late, but
And this is for working with children with ADD and ADHD.
Children in general is, mm-hmm. but we specifically, we work really hard with those ones.
Now, obviously what you want to build in these children is a self-confidence.
Absolutely.
A physical strength.
No. Balance and coordination.
Well, balance and coordination. Well, I mean physical strength and being able to compete with them among themselves. They have to build up somehow.
Yeah, and I want to be kind of clear because the word compete in our industry means that they compete for a trophy.
Right.
Absolutely not in my school.
Okay.
Or in my art. We compete against ourselves to be better each time we do something than the time before. But not, we don't do competitive fighting. The Grandmaster Wu said very clearly that there's nothing good about dominating another human being. We want to be able to take care of ourselves. And so the one rule for the children's program is I'm not allowed to use my kung fu unless I think I'm going to the hospital.
So that is somewhat different than many of the other schools of training here.
There's another system like it.
Uh-huh. So the only competition is getting better by competing with yourself.
Yes.
Pushing yourself further.
So if someone has a child, let's say, that has been diagnosed, and they're thinking, because we know that there's people who will do, you know, there's horses dealing with animals with autistic children. They're at a loss of where to go with that child. How would someone find you? Or do you have a website, or do you have things that you've written? Is there a book? How do they get information on you?
Right now the website is the first recommendation, or they can call the school, and we'll help them out as much as we possibly can. I am in the process of probably doing like an ebook because it's financially affordable. We don't have to worry about publishing issues and things like that.
And what is the website?
PhDmartialArts.com.
PhDmartialArts.com.
Yes, ma'am.
And the school is called?
PhDmartialArts.com. The system that we teach is the art of Kung Fu Sensu. So that's a 2,000-year-old system of self-defense.
There's so many different kinds of martial arts. And so could you explain what the Kung Fu Sensu would be different than just maybe a traditional, when you go take karate and you do you have to go through the different belts and you have to learn, oh, gosh, I'm not exactly... You know, help me here, because I know that there are different... like when I was in Sacramento, there was... There were different black karate studios everywhere. So what is it that you're learning specifically in this kind of martial arts?
If I hear you correctly, there's two partial questions there. What do I do uniquely, and what's the difference between the other systems?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's why you do what you do.
That's 600 phone calls a day.
Yeah.
Basically the first question they ask. What we end up getting is what I try to share with people is, number one, all martial arts are great. And the system is only as good as the student. If they practice and they perform, they build better character. They build stronger abilities. And then, so they're all great. I want to make sure that's really clear. If you get your child into a program, it's really about a match. It's a match between the personality of the instructor and the child. And if you have that going on, you're going to have something wonderful come out of it. And we all want to be life coaches for these kids long term. We want to see them graduate from high school, get married. Second generation is now coming into my school. But Kung Fu Sensu, to answer that part, is all of those arts. In other words, it takes forever to get a black belt in Kung Fu Sensu because it is a mother art. It's over 2,000 years old. Karate is about 100 years old. And what they did was they developed punching and kicking only. Well, or mainly, primarily. I'm not a master of that. But in judo, they do leverages and throws. We do that also. We do the punching and the kicking. In Tai Chi, they do forms for exercise and so forth. And we can all get that picture, because if we go to China and we say we do Kung Fu, they think, oh, Kung Fu, you're doing Tai Chi, American standard. And we do that also, of course. And we also do nerves and pressure points. So I can have a 73-year-old nun that puts her finger in somebody's armpit and drops them to the ground. And they happen to be like 6'2" and 200 pounds, and she drops them like a bag of potatoes. So anybody can do the art. I've got a gentleman in there now in my adult class that's got one arm. He lost it in a industrial accident. And a couple of veterans that are missing a leg. And anybody can do this art. It's wonderful because it adapts to somebody's strengths. And the goal is to pick up the weaknesses.
So. We've got to take a break. And we come back, Jim. I like to talk about how you can take a child and when they have ADD or ADHD, and how the working with them, how you work with them and gain.
Love to.
How they gain from that, because we've only got a few minutes left.
Yes, sir.
Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460 AM. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 14. It's too late, Bob. KCNR 1460, 605-4567. Hey, our guest today is Master Jim Matthews.
Good morning, and thank you so much for being with us. You know, it's also great to hear that there's a treasure in Reading, and one of the very big gifts for us doing our Free Fire Radio and having KCNR is that we get a chance to meet people. And Eric Lancaster, who actually did the news this morning and works here with us, and we're just thrilled to be able to have him on board too, is the one that said, you know, I have somebody that you should know about. And we said, okay, great. You know, who is he? He's Master Jim. Okay, well, who's Master Jim? So I love how the synchronistic part of getting to know and meeting you today. And Jim Matthews, Master Jim, tell us one more time what the art is for people who are just tuning in.
Okay, Kung Fu Sansu.
Can't hear the microphone. Thank you.
Kung Fu Sansu. And we basically work on from the perspective of building self-defense. And it's a non-competitive system of martial arts that's been around for over 2,000 years. How's that?
Yeah, that's okay. Amazing.
And
yeah,
and the thing about the for the children with the
yes, sir.
ADHD, what do you see the results of this?
As quickly as I possibly can. So if people have phone calls, please give me. Feel free to.
We're going to put your website on our website so they can link out.
I'm honored. Thank you very much. Children are what my primary focus is, and as a matter of fact, I don't know how I got lucky to get Eric, but we have...
Eric's a child, just a big guy.
Yeah, giant child. So what we did is we just found this niche serving the community, and a lot of my clients are being referred to me from the doctors and therapists and so forth in town, and we've never advertised for adults, and what we found is that we can get incredible results with the children, 50% of their... meds are being reduced right away, within a certain amount of time. Depends on how much support we have at home to complete the circle. Because the way I see it is there's the family, which is responsible for morals and integrity and family values. And then we send our children to school, and hopefully they're getting their higher education and peer pressure and peer development. And then they need a third party, whether it's a clergyman or some third party that can support those other two avenues. And when they get a martial artist, they get a relationship for life because we want to see them grow and develop, as I said before. So we got basically results that come with the children. Within three or four sessions, we're seeing children maybe walk in with very low self-esteem, and we can see that physically. Their shoulders are down, their heads are slumped, they don't make eye contact. Within a few lessons, they walk out of the room, and their shoulders are up, their eyes are forward, and they're on their way to a different path. And so that has been so gratifying because we're Americans, and we like quick results. And, boy, these little ones are giving me great, great results. So we start them at three, and they're going all the way up. And we're getting they're held responsible for their grades to do good and right things at home and at school. And I'm hoping I'm getting close to helping.
When did you discover that this was a calling?
Dr. Dan Rabanowitz would laugh at me, and I'd say, why is this kid bouncing around the room and this one's not? And he goes, why do you keep getting more of those? And he kept trying to help me out, and he just laughed at me and helped me nurture and develop it, and as a kind of a mentor to me to go, this is what it is in the scientific community. And I kind of discovered right off the bat, the first time I shed a tear over them, and they're really, really neat kids. I've got the autistic kids are incredible, and I'm really excited about their growth, which is exponential right off the bat.
Well, you know, we've only we don't really have enough time to delve into this anymore, so we'd like to have you back on, Jim.
I'm honored.
At some point. Where we can spend, another segment of the show and talk about how you work with these children and the techniques you use to bring this out, to do this calming. Because from what I understand for ADD and ADHD is that...
And autism.
It's a frenzy on their part at times, and it's how to bring calming and focusing into their lives.
You know, it's loving them. I just want to tell you, it's just loving them, tell them they're okay, and all things start to come together.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to just give you that little piece there.
Yeah.
Our guest today has been Jim Matthews, Master Jim, KCNR1460.com. We're taking your emails, your calls, 605-4567.
He can be reached at
530-226-9494.
And your website is?
PhDMartialArts.com.
PhDMartialArts.com.
Which is power, honor, and discipline.
Okay. Jim Matthews, thanks for being here.
Thank you for
My pleasure.
I'm going to take a break here. This is Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460.
This is KCNR.
Shasta Redding. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Our guest is Master Jim Matthews, and we're gonna close this up with just a question here. So let's go to the phones. And Patty, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, what you got, Patty?
Hi, how you guys doing?
We're great, Patty.
Hi, Sarah.
Good. I just wanted to put in my 2 cents. I've known Master Jim for over 30 years and have referred many, many kids to him over the years to work in his programs. And I thought he might, if he was going to keep him on the air, I thought he might want to spend a couple minutes talking about why Kung Fu really helps these children with either special needs emotionally or physically, or even just kids who need a little direction, a little self-control, and a little sense of self. What it is that Kung Fu, that spiritual art of Kung Fu, not just the fighting element of it, brings to these children to really help settle their brains. It's awesome.
Well, I tell you, Patty, he's going to be able to take a part of this, and then we're going to, our other guests have rolled in here, but I wanted to make sure we'd finished out on this with your question here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So,
hi, Patty.
Dr. Bay.
Worked hard for that thing, you know.
Yeah. Worked hard for that DR. Yeah.
Boy, you bit off a big one for me. But I think that to keep it as short as possible in respect to time, I think that it's the consistency. It's each step. The system is very systematic, and there's 8 stances, 2 blocks, 4 kicks, and anything you do with your body counts. So therefore, when we develop balance, coordination, and timing, we can get those results with the children. And what else were you implying, Patty, that I should throw on there?
Well, the thing that I think is so awesome about what you do is it's not just behavioral or emotional for the children. I think it is actually helping rewire their brains from a neuropsychology standpoint. They learn to control their emotions with their bodies. And that muscle memory and that brain reprogramming is part of what I think really helps these ADHD kids learn to behave differently in their world. It's powerful.
That's what's working.
Yes, I believe it is. And I think you do a great job.
Thank you, Patty.
Making these kids feel really, really important and really good about themselves.
All right.
So partly I wanted to call just to thank you for what you do in the community for these kids. But I don't think it's a need that's filled in many other arenas.
Well, we're obviously after what we've all experienced this morning is that we're going to ask Jim Matthews, Master Jim, to come back, and we'll do a program. I think we need to break this down even more because I think that sometimes it's really hard to probably put into words exactly what happened. So we'll go a little bit more in depth. And we appreciate, Patty, your phone call. And, Eric, thank you for introducing us to Jim Matthews. And, Master Jim, thank you for all that you do for our world.
Well, thank you so much, guys.
In fact, we do. We'll set up something here in the near future to get you back on for an entire segment.
Well, I'm honored. Thank you. And thank you, Patty, for calling.
Thank you. You all have a great day.
Thank you for everything you do. Let's take a break here. It's Carl and the Bott on KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Our guest, you got a hard act to follow here, is Patrick Jones, the mayor of our fair city. And there seem to be a few things going on there, huh, Mayor?
There's always something going on. Thank you, Carl, Linda, for having me on this morning.
Well, you know.
Welcome.
Welcome.
And you're in the seat now.
I'm always in the seat.
And the phones are lit up.
And even before you get a chance to get started, we've had somebody on the phone now for like 10 minutes. We're going to go to John here.
Dang.
John, good morning. John, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Carl?
You're on KCNR.
Good morning, Linda. Carl.
Good morning.
Patrick Jones.
We finally got John.
Is on the air too.
Excellent. Listen, this morning you mentioned at the top of the show, Abdulmutallab, the underwear panties bomber.
I was quite proud of the way I pronounced his name too.
The fact he's being tried in criminal court really bothers me, and I'm confused by the fact that in my belief, what he is a non-uniformed enemy combatant.
I think,
and as such, should be tried by the military as a prisoner of war.
I think a lot of people feel like that.
I don't understand where any criminal, you know, civilian criminal action can even be placed into consideration on this thing. You know, it's not just that he's a terrorist, but he's a self-proclaimed warrior of the jihad against the United States. Now, that's a war. And this guy is a war criminal, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
I mean, when I was in the military, I got sent on a couple of varying missions into places I shouldn't have necessarily been without a uniform, but was briefed ahead of time of what the possible results would be. And very few of them had anything to do with any kind of trials whatsoever. I don't understand. I don't know what to say to you other than what is the thinking that the government has in regards to trying this guy as a civilian.
Our government doesn't believe we're at war. And because of that, they're saying, well, you know, our justice system can take care of this. Well, that's fine, except, you know, as soon as you introduce somebody into the American justice system, they then get a lawyer, which we pay for, and he's not charging $50 an hour. He will then tell him not to say anything, as a lawyer should, because that lawyer is being paid to give the best defense. The last thing you want this guy to do is to talk. So because every time he opens his mouth, he gets a step closer to the to death row.
The minute they read him those Miranda rights.
That was it. It was over.
It was the end of it.
It was over. And so now you even got Feinstein is questioning, which I think is interesting. You have Feinstein questioning what happened there. He said, well, wait a minute. Why didn't we turn him over to the military? Why did we read him his, quote, rights? You know, he doesn't have rights because he's not a citizen of our country. And he committed a act of war against us. So if somebody needs to explain to me out there, and I'm sure there's people a lot smarter than me out there that can explain why this man deserves to have his rights read to him.
Well, I think the federal attorney general needs to rule on this and act on this as a case of a non-uniformed enemy combatant.
Right.
And he's a prisoner of war, as he should be. Anyway, I'm gonna just get off. I had to get that off my chest.
Okay.
And I'd like to say one more quick thing. And I've been in personal communication with Jim McClatchy, the guy who is the owner of SAF.
Yes.
And I want to say that the man comes across as a very honorable and straightforward human being, and he is trying to do the right thing here in Reading. And the fact that he's taking advantage of something being offered to him does not make him a bad person or his company wrong. Some of his associations here, or the associations with that program, are what are really in question here in Shasta County. Unfortunately, Mr. Dagg's background and some of the problems, the legal problems he's having, are spilling over into people's thinking about what's going on because of this Radical 10 that he presented. I just want to say that Mr. McClatchy, the owner of the company, seems like a very honorable human being and straightforward.
Well, thank you for...
And that's a good way to start this off. So
right.
Thanks a lot, John, for your phone call.
Okay, take care. John.
Patrick.
Well, I believe, and thank you, John, for the call. That, you know, we always appreciate people calling in. And you're absolutely right. The company itself, Southern Aluminum, is an extremely good company, and we would be proud to have them here in Reading. And so, you know, we're thankful for that companies take the time to look at Reading. And the opportunities of bringing jobs, manufacturing jobs, to Reading is exactly what Stillwater was all done for, and it's what it's about, and we'd like to have him there. My concern Has nothing to do with Southern Aluminum. Excellent company, extremely reputable throughout the entire United States and maybe someday throughout the whole world. This company is expanding and growing, and it's the kind of company we'd like to see here in Reading. And so I have no concerns that that company is moving forward and doing a good job. My concern, and I mentioned this in the paper the other day, is that we have the architectural firm that was on that committee, that his position was to go out and seek someone for the possibility of, you know, giving away a free piece of land. It's not exactly free, but we'll just call it free for now. And those terms of that have not been worked out in detail yet. And then he, that architectural firm may, in essence, by bringing that company here, possibly getting the architectural bid, you know, for the design of that building. And I have a little problem, you know, obviously with that. Some would say, hey, he's entitled. He's a company here in town, and he's entitled to try to, you know, secure any kind of bids that he can. And he's a reputable company, extremely reputable, very well known, and very capable. Certainly they are capable, and their print is throughout, you know, Reading. There's so many buildings that this firm has done. The question here is that when we have public funds on the line, when we're giving away essentially hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of land and the infrastructure to that, and then a company is going to benefit from that that's involved in the process, I think just in the light of transparency and what we're trying to change at City Hall is openness and transparent government. And so that aspect of it bothers me, and that has nothing to do really with the company itself, Southern Aluminum, a very good, reputable company. It has the appearance with the architectural firm receiving work and a bid and being involved in the process. And that concerns me from a PR standpoint of being transparent. And that I, you know, that's what I mentioned in the paper the other day, and certainly the way I feel today. And you know, the economy is such a global recession, the likes we haven't seen in a long, long time. None of us in modern time have seen this, and so to attract any business to Reading is a feat in and of itself. You know, it's something that is going to be difficult, and it may be difficult for several years. But I just want it to be open and transparent, I want everybody to be happy with it.
Well, we've got to take a break here, and we've got people on the phone lines. We're going to come back to you. Linda will come back to you after this break. But you know what? It may not make everybody happy, though, Patrick. And I see for something like, what if I went out and brought in a business for Stillwater, and they gave me all their advertising was for KCNR. I mean, is that wrong? Isn't that kind of, I brought them in. Yeah, I'm going to benefit from it, but is that wrong?
Well, if we had invited you to take part of a city process, or you took part in a committee, not necessarily a city-sponsored committee, but it was a committee where we did have city staff, and we are giving away city funds. And you're involved in that process, and then you're going to profit from that process, yeah, I'd probably have a concern with that, too.
Okay. This is Carl Lindabot on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our guest is Patrick Jones. The phone lines are backed up. We will get to you all as soon as we get back from these messages.
Welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, 8:23 in the morning. It's currently 39 degrees, going to be high of 50 today. It's cloudy. Weather is also always and brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway. We're going to be there on Valentine's, and they have a really big, fabulous special. So if you're thinking about it.
And we may have a big announcement about that, too.
Yeah, they may be adding another night, Saturday night, and we'll let you know. Chef John Stadelli will be making that announcement. Again, this is KCNR 1460, and our guest this morning is Mayor Patrick Jones.
Let's go to the lines. Linda, good morning.
Hi.
Hey.
My point is about limited government. I saw the video at the Patriots meeting last night of a city council meeting where by 3-2, and Patrick was for the people, and so was Dick Dickerson. But the three that voted against the people, they had 12 speakers there that spoke about what they voted on. They voted against the people. You know, when you have When the people fear the government, you have tyranny. And when the government fears the people, you have the people's will be done, and it would be a government of the people, we the people. But how dare Mary Stegall vote against those 12 speakers, a representative of how the community feels? We don't want Mary Stegall, Missy MacArthur, and Bozzetti he went with them. But anyway, it was 3-2. But we don't want to have you open up the government to corruption when you have appointed positions, especially such important positions as treasurer and city clerk. They should remain an elected position. The people have the smarts. They're not incompetent. They can vote for a person who's qualified. It's called a campaign.
Well, you're
anyway,
correct.
I've said my piece.
No, thanks, Linda.
Thank you, Linda.
Could I get a dialogue, see what Patrick thinks?
Absolutely, and thank you for the comment. But you're right. You know, our system has not been broken when it comes to people picking the right elected officials. And
we chose you, Patrick Jones. I voted for you.
And I know that's turned out good.
Yes.
$490 a month. No.
No, you're wonderful. As far as your regard for the people,
you're worth every cent.
The people. That's very obvious.
Well, you know, and when it comes to the city clerk, we've had some very good city clerks that have been very impressive, and those have all been elected positions, and the public has, done well. They've been able to see through the debate process who is prepared and who is not, and the system has been working. And so I really didn't see the need for a change. But the reality is that is a right that the public has. And,
yes.
You know, if
it would be taking our vote away from us, Patrick. And also, why spend $25,000? And one other thing, you could put it on the ballot. So why spend that money? It's fix the potholes with that $25,000. Also, could I ask about the League of Cities? I mean, we must spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to belong to that thing. And it's like if they're going to all trend toward that, there are trends toward trillions in deficits, too. Trends aren't always good. So why should we go with the trend? I mean, Reading is a standalone community. We don't have to go along with, what the League of Cities does. Why do we have to belong to that thing in the first place and pay all that money to belong?
Well, I don't think it's the amount that you said, but we do certainly spend money with the California League of Cities. And there are some things with the league that's useful, and there's many things that I don't agree with, on the same point of views with the leagues. And I hear you there, and I understand. And that's why I didn't want to be kind of on the liaison assignment to the league, because I didn't agree with all their stances. In fact, one of the things when I went to my first league conference, they told us a little story about an elected official that ran on a particular platform, and then once he got elected, he changed his mind and he went.
Sounds
in a different
like Obama
direction.
To me.
Well, and they said, you know, how great this guy was for rethinking his position, and I thought, you know what, here's a guy that ran for something. He said he was going to do something, then we get there, he does something else, and the league is saying how great that is, and I'm saying, you know, how wrong that is.
It's
and so
dishonest.
Right,
you're right. It's
you know,
wrong.
Right off the bat, I disagreed with him, and with respect to the city clerk. The idea is that, I guess from staff's perspective, that the public could elect someone that's not well qualified, or maybe somebody that's not a team player, or maybe somebody that's maybe a little more critical with staff
well, we
than they
the
want.
We have the recall process, and besides that...
Well, those aren't necessarily bad things if the public wants it. And that is what the public has the ability to do today. If they want
and
somebody,
as you said, it's a debate process. We can pick the right person through the debate the campaign process.
Right through the campaign.
Oh, back to the League of Cities for one thing. You know, Missy MacArthur gets her little outing. You know, to go to that thing and submits her expenses. And I'm so sorry I voted for her. She and Mary were so elitist in that video in your meeting there. Just they heard the speakers and then they just ignored what they said and said, well, I think that they had their minds made up.
It probably, you know, I would have to ask them, you know, how their thinking was. But you're right, we had 12 to 15 speakers, and I just really want to make sure that people know that this is not over yet. You still have the opportunity come November to make sure this doesn't happen.
Well, it's going to be on the June 8th ballot, but we have time. Believe me, you're going
to
be inundated.
Linda, we're
going
to have to. Linda, we're going to have to take a break here. Thanks so much for your phone call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to take a break here in about another 20 seconds, but we want to talk about that. We want to talk about
which you see is going to be happening here again in the near future with the cuts that are coming, from what I understand. We're talking with Patrick Jones, the mayor of our city, and who's coming in to talk about that. Anyway, this is Carl Lindebot on Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here is 605-4567. And this portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Besides being the finest walk-in humidor in the North State, in Espresso Joe's, they pay a lot of taxes that pay for a lot of things that happen in this town. Joe and Shelley also support many, many of the community efforts. They are just fine people. They've got a storefront there that you can use for organizations, meetings, and just to drink your coffee and have a little Wi-Fi right there. Tobacco and Brew is so much more than just a tobacco store.
Our guest today is Mayor Patrick Jones, and the phone's ringing off the hook, so let's just get down to it. Let's get to the phone. And, Gary, good morning. You're on KCNR.
Top of the morning to you three.
Good morning, Gary.
I wanted to call. Yesterday, a caller that called in said that he was glad to see that this issue of the clerk was on the ballot so that the council wouldn't do something on their own. The reason the issue is on the ballot is not an advisory issue. The council and the city have to put this measure before the people and have our affirmative vote before they can move forward with making this appointment process they're talking about. It's government code. It's the California Government Code 36508, which governs this. And I just wanted to bring that forward, that this is not an advisory vote, that this is something that the city has to do and has to put this on the ballot and ask us to lose our right to vote for the city clerk. So I just wanted to make sure that there wasn't some confusion in the public.
Well, thank you, Gary. And, you know, for everybody that goes to the council meetings, they know Gary Cad goes to everyone. So Gary is there, and he's paying attention. He's speaking. And so I appreciate any time we have members of the public come forward and give us questions and show up at the council meeting. That building's for the people, and Gary shows up and represents well. But you're right, Gary. The public still has a chance to vote on this, so it's not over yet. This is, you know, essentially the more that we talk about this issue between now and June, and it will be on the June ballot as opposed to the November, as I said earlier. You know, the more we talk about it, the more people can get prepared to do something about it.
Oh, we're going to be pushing this. I mean, this is just, you know, I think this is ludicrous, and I think people need to remember who voted for this when it comes for the November elections. And, you know, and I think if there should be a way for the people that voted for this, that when this goes down in defeat by 80 to 20, that they should have to pay for the $25,000. Let's just give the bill to the three people that voted for this.
Now, was that a prediction, Carl? Because Gary made his prediction.
Well, mine was 65-35, but I'm trying to be conservative.
Well, I tell you what, wait till we get finished with it.
This is very true.
We have the march down. We have march down California Avenue. You know, quit taking our rights away.
Yeah. Well, and the thing with it is that from the people that are talking to me that are in that 65 or that 80% you're talking about, they're really upset about even spending the $25,000 to start with.
Which
they
is
really
not
want to
which
see
is
the council revisit this issue.
Yeah, this is not a huge sum, but it's just the point of having to do this. I mean,
well, yeah, it's the money, and then of course above and beyond that, it's our rights. It's our right to vote.
It smacks of elitism, which really goes against the conservative nature of this part of the country.
That's exactly true. Yeah. Listen, guys, I'll get off here and let you guys have a nice day.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Indie guy. Good morning. Indy guy, you're on KCNR.
Hello.
Morning.
Hello, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning.
I think you might be aware of my blogs on rs.com. As far as this vote thing goes, all I can say is don't ever give up your right to vote on something. Whoever wants your vote taken away, in my opinion, has ulterior motives.
Well, it's hard to say, but you're right. I mean, you know, and that's why I didn't support this, and
right.
And I hope the public doesn't as well. And I hope we send a message come later in this year, that we want to keep things an elected position, and there's some value with that. And it, even though it's only the city clerk, it's still in a very important position. The public has done it well all these years, and I think they can continue to do it well, well into the future. Just because many other cities do it doesn't mean we have to do it. It's why I didn't support it, and I hope it does go down in defeat. I hope it is something to the area of like 80-20. And,
I agree with that.
You know, and what I encourage people to do is you know, be vocal, come to council meetings, express their concerns. There's nothing better than when you come to a council meeting and tell us what you think in person, face-to-face, eye-to-eye. That really sends a good message, even though it didn't work the other night because we had, I think, 15 speakers saying don't do this,
right? And nobody three out of five didn't agree with them, and didn't listen to them.
So it didn't work there. But that's the pressure does work, and when you're looking somebody eye to eye, and we have big crowds, it definitely is effective.
Right. I appreciate most of your stands on things.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
In fact, in the blogs, one time one of your decisions kind of irked me, and I called for your removal, but I got over that.
Well, which one was it? Let me know.
I don't recall now, but at the time it just really irked me. Anyway, I wanted to speak on the Stillwater business with SAF.
Okay.
I have numerous times on the blogs tried to ask the owner of SAF. The whole report was that he has said he could bring up to 200 jobs.
Well, yeah, and you know, he's not, you know, again, this is a very, very reputable company. These guys are...
Right, I understand. I'm not going after his company.
Right, but what he said was true, that in the future, as the market... Right now, we're at the bottom of a market, so he's not going to be able to create 200 jobs today. There is no supply. There's no call for that type of...
I understand.
But he will start smaller, and he can build into 200, and it might even be bigger than that. This guy is really expanding, and the economy will start off small today. What that number is being negotiated now. So we don't have that minimum number set yet.
Okay.
But it could be around 50, and 50 employees moving up.
Better than nothing. I mean,
absolutely. But so he's not being, you know, misleading. He's just being real.
I understand that. I just wanted those two questions answered, and the one was the how do you expect to expand from 6 to 200 employees, and how long is that expected to take in this economy?
Well, keep in mind, the six people that he has here today is just, they do distribution, really. It's not really a manufacturing facility. So we're going from a small little distribution center to a manufacturing facility. So that's where the numbers will change right there. Plus, those numbers in manufacturing will grow when the market dictates that, and his presence on the West Coast, he feels that obviously this will put him in a very good position. And the company's on the move. There's no question about it. It's hard to move fast in a global recession, but it's a good company, and he will bring jobs here. And, you know, I had some other concerns, but I don't have any concerns with this company.
Right. Well, I've been attacked on the blogs as being a naysayer, but I'm not a naysayer. I'm just trying to look out for the taxpayers' dollars and get something in return that is equitable.
I agree. When you're using taxpayers' dollars, everything has to be out in front, extremely transparent, and that's something that we have to work on.
Yeah,
and
that is the biggest problem right there. It's not transparent.
I definitely appreciate your call.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Andy Guy. We have to take a break. Carl Lindabot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our guest is Mayor Patrick Jones. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, KCNR 1460. And welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Lindabot. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and our guest is Patrick Jones. Okay, get out your pencils or pens. 255-4463. We'll get you a phone call to the city council. You may want to call and let Missy, Mary, and Rick know how you feel about their vote to take away your right to vote for the city clerk and the city treasurer. That's 225-4463. Be polite. Be civil. And just say, hey, you know, I don't agree with what you did. Just to let them know the strength of the strength of the opposition to this. And, again, don't be, you know, you don't need to be rude to let yourself be known how you feel. Okay, let's go to the phones. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning, and good morning, Patrick.
Good morning.
Thank you so much. You know, you didn't know, but you're on television last night, and the council did, I think, a great job on the screen. We weren't, frankly, the audience wasn't impressed with the results, but, you know, we appreciated being able to see the whole thing. My concern is not only taking away our vote, which is the only voice we have in government is our vote, but more important, and equally important, I should say, we are in a time of economic crisis for our city. And to be spending $25,000 on an issue that takes away our vote, I think it needs to be reconsidered. It is, if I'm not mistaken, it's half the salary of a police officer for a year. We can't afford to lose any more police officers or firemen.
Well, you're right. It's you know, it's money that's spent on something that wasn't broken, and that certainly should be a concern. Unfortunately, I wish a police officer's salary was only $50,000. It's a little bit more, but the point is well taken that it's money that didn't need to be spent. The system wasn't broken. We don't need to be taking people's rights away. If anything, we need to be giving you more rights, more say in local government and government in general. And this is a global recession, the likes we have not seen, and we are actually considering things what we would normally never do to save money. And here is a situation with the city clerk where we're spending money, and it obviously makes people upset, and they should be. And I appreciate the show for being able to have me on, and to have callers calling in to say what they feel about this issue, because it's while it may just be concerning Reading, the city clerk. I think it really could be expanded to what's happening across the nation with people being upset about losing their rights.
May I ask a question? And that is there any chance that the city council might be able to revisit this and say, you know, we rethought this and maybe we want to take it off the ballot. We're happy with things are as the way they are.
Boy, I tell you, you know, I guess it's possible, but, you know, we take votes all the time. Every time we meet, we have votes. We win, we lose, we move forward. The council has spoken, and unless one of those three come forward to say that they've had a change in mind, then it won't happen. Obviously, that vote occurred 3-2, and it would take one of those three, an indication from one of those three. So if they had come forward and said, we'd like to, you know, re-agendize this, then it could be voted on again. So, yeah, it's possible.
Okay.
And, Dennis, that phone number is 225-4463 that you might want to spread this with your friends because, and again, being civil about it, saying we disagree with your opinion that we need to vote, that we don't need to vote to keep our rights, and just let them know. And if they have enough people calling in, perhaps that will bend one of them back to the views of sanity.
Right.
You know, and that's why it's so important to come to those council meetings. And while the council didn't listen to the people the other night, I guarantee you if we'd have packed that house with 100 people, they probably would have listened a little more carefully. And when you get to look a council member in the eye and speak what's on your mind, it's the most effective thing. The phone calls are good. The letters are good. The emails are good. But nothing compares with meeting you face-to-face. And so when these items come up on the agenda, do what you can. I know that it's 6 o'clock in the evening and most people are just getting home, but, you know, it's important. It's important stuff, and you got to make those council meetings, so I encourage everyone to do so.
And okay, if you want to send a fax.
You know, no, we've got to make a change here.
Oh.
The number that I was given before is a fax number.
Oh.
The
oh.
number is 225...
4447.
4447. Okay, the number I was given before was a fax. So you can send them a fax, too. But the number you call to the office of the city council is 225... 4447. Let them know. And spread that among your friends, Dennis.
Well, it sounds like you are. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We got to take a break here. Carl and the Bot on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bot. Our guest is Patrick Jones. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. And let me say again what that phone number is. It's I know. What can I say? 225-4447 to call the city council and let them know what you think about losing your ability to vote for the treasurer and the clerk.
Now, Monday is the State of the City Luncheon. Tell us about that.
Well, each year the Chamber of Commerce does their luncheon, and you know, and we do the State of the City address, just like there's a State of the State address and the State of the Union address. We do the State of the State address, and of course, this year, me being the mayor, I get to give that speech, that 20-minute speech or so, and we're going to highlight some of the things that have happened over the last year and what's going to, you know, what we think is going to happen this next year. And you know, the speech is going to be a little different than some speeches. You know, this is a tough year. It's going to be a tough year. And so I'll talk about the tough challenges that we have and some of our strong points and what's in the future for Reading. And, you know, I think wherever there's, you know, a hardship and some difficulty, there's also an opportunity. I'm very optimistic. And while the economy has certainly flattened considerably, major global recession, there is some bright spots. And so I'll be hitting all of those. And for those of you that have not gotten a ticket to the Chamber event, and there's, I think they seat 900 people, and I'm not sure if they're full or not, so you want to call the Chamber of Commerce for that. But in the evening, we have a free open to the public at City Hall at the Council Chambers. We go over the State of City again, and that's free to everybody that would like to come. And I believe, I don't want to say it wrong, but I think it's at 5 or 5:30. You want to check that time.
Okay, well, there are some tickets, according to an email that we got. For the luncheon, it's February 1st at noon. You can contact Vicki Wilkinson, who's the events coordinator for the Chamber of Commerce. That's the State of the City Luncheon, Monday, February 1st at noon. Their phone number is 225-4433. That's 225-4433, which is the Chamber of Commerce in Reading. And then again, you can go free. If you can't make the luncheon, go to City Hall. It is at City Hall.
Yep, it's at City Hall at the Council Chambers. We don't have refreshments. You know, we're trying to save a few dollars. No cookies, no iced tea. But you get to hear the exact same speech that I give at the Chamber event that evening. And that kind of lets you know, again, some of our accomplishments and some of our challenges. And that's going to be free to the public that same day on the 1st, February 1st, in the evening at Council Chambers.
Yeah, because lunch, I think, is you pay for the lunch on that one to hear your dulcet tones.
Correct.
Just got a phone call that says, why is the city competing with the free market in real estate?
Well, that was, you know, I've been fairly critical about Stillwater. That has been a development that, to me, the city was acting like a developer, and I had some problems with that. And we did spend upwards of $20 million so far, and, you know, and I had some concerns. I still have some concerns. And I voted no many times on all of the aspects of Stillwater. I give the city credit for attempting to create a business park that will allow, you know, ready-to-go sites so people can come in and they can literally be issued a permit and begin moving dirt. And so I admire that. The problem is the city is acting as a developer, and essentially no developer would do that job because you can't make any money at it. The city didn't necessarily feel, I suppose, that they had to make money on that because of the secondary and the primary jobs that it would create. And there is some truth about that. But I did have a concern. It's why I voted no so many times on Stillwater. And, you know, it's a tough deal when we're spending public funds and we're speculating on how the market might be. And that is what we did.
Hey, Patrick, I want you to know that the card you gave me with your phone number on it.
Yeah, is it wrong?
It's incorrect.
Oh, man.
Now, this is, you know, I've been giving this phone line out. And it's the one that Patrick Jones, mayor, gave me, Office of the City Council. That line is no longer in service, which may explain some of the things that are going on in the city council. The number is 225-4055. So I hope you had erasers on those pencils. And so if you want to call the city council and express your displeasure about voting or lack of voting, the number is 225-4055, which is the first number I had, but I changed that to take the one off your card. You might want to get new cards.
I just got new cards. Now I got to get them again. Jeez.
Yeah. Well, whoever called, thank you very much for that. 225-4055 to let the city council know how you feel about losing your rights to vote. We've got like 1 minute here, Patrick. Any last thing?
Well, again, Carl and Linda, thank you for having me on. And I'm honored to be mayor for the city of Reading this year. And This will be a tough year. We have an election year coming up, of course, and me and Rick Pizzetti will be up for re-election. But we've got all year between now and December for me to be mayor, and I'm going to work hard. We've got a lot of issues that are important to the people. I want to let the public know that, you know, that I believe this council, while, you know, certainly this vote with the city clerk issue may not have shown it, I believe the majority of the city council is open and is ready to listen to the people. And in some of these tough decisions, that's where the public comes in. That's where the pressure comes in. And that's where people coming to council can really make a difference. And so I appreciate everyone that comes to council, and hope to see them out, you know, throughout the year.
Our guest today has been Patrick Jones. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Free Fire Radio. We hope to have you back always on a regular basis. You can see how many calls came in, people concerned, and it's nice to go directly to the source.
Our guest tomorrow will be Angela Fitzgerald from the Shasta Family Justice Center to be talking about this new program they have down there. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR Shasta Reading.